everybody. I'm Cassidy, one of your Indianapolis Colts cheerleaders, and you're watching the Believe in Colts podcast.
Welcome back to Believe in Colts. I'm Lawrence Owen. With me, as usual, is my guy, Donald Thomas. And today we have a very special guest from Believe in UCLA. We have James Williams here to discuss the first round pick from the Indianapolis Colts in the 2024 NFL draft. That was Laiatu. James, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thanks for having me, fellas. I appreciate it. And looking forward to see what Laiatu does in Indy.
Oh, I am too. Donald, I'm going to go ahead and let this start off with you. First off, with the pick, I understand from our last week's recording, you were big, Donald, on you want an offensive guy, offensive lineman, wide receiver, something of that nature. Where are you sitting the day after the draft? This is my personal question to you with the Laiatu pick.
I love how you put me on the spot right
from the right from the jump.
Yeah. Here's the deal. This is my honest opinion, right? I'm not thrilled with it. And I say that only because I feel like a team is only as strong as their offensive line. I might be biased, but like if we can bolster that line and upgrade that line a couple pieces, it only makes the team stronger. And I really thought that we were solid on defense to where we didn't have to use a first round pick on the defensive line, when I thought that was the real bright spot of the defense last year and our strongest attribute. So I hope that Laiatu comes in and he makes plays. And James, you know him better than anyone else. Mm-hmm. I hope that, you know, you can give us some insight on his strong parts of his game, his weak parts of his game, if you think he'll be an impact, for the Colts this year to really help us out.
Yeah. So just kind of going off of the question to you, Donald, Lawrence, everybody wanted an offensive player. The first 14 teams wanted one. But no, I think Laiatu is going to be great. Like I think back to when he first transferred in to UCLA. I think that was Chip Kelly's like first big transfer portal class. I think the transfer portal was really just starting to become a thing, and ended up being a solid group of guys. And, you know, you don't really know what to make of it, or you think when a guy's coming from the portal, you don't want to necessarily say they're damaged goods, but there's a reason why they're in the portal, right? So for Laiatu, you hear about the medical retirement, and I'm just like, okay. So I had no expectations for him, none at all. Whatever happens, it just seemed like it was going to be a bonus. UCLA was fresh off of Jalen Phillips having to medically retire there before he went on to Miami. But so, you know, there really was no expectation. He was never listed in the starting lineup, but just from the jump, it was an impact player, jumped off the page. He really brought life into a defense that was just non-existent for the past like 3 years that I was covering the team. The weakest point, or the weakest side of the ball, was defense. And we just would kind of roll our eyes at it and just be like, you know, in typical Chip Kelly fashion, he's going to have the offense, he's going to have the tempo, he's going to have everything full cylinders. And the defense was just, you know, don't give up more than 21 points and we'll be good, or whatever the case was. So when Laiatu came in, some of the other guys came in, they just really turned that defense around and really kind of set a new perspective of the way fans are looking at that defense now.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, NFL, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember, use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I got a couple questions that I've got from Twitter. And before I get into it, look, when it comes to production, he was incredible the last 2 years. Over the last 2 years, he has more pressures than any other defensive player in the NCAA. And I think he has the most sacks over the last 2 years as well.
I think, 28 or something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. But those stats don't nearly compare to his true win rate percentage, which was over 37%. Now his overall win rate percentage, it's hard to say. it was like 27, 20 some percent. It was really high. It was up there with TJ Watt and Nick Bosa and those kind of guys, Myles Garrett. Now those guys transitioned from college to the NFL and did it seamlessly and made an instant impact when they came into the NFL. Do you think that what Latu has with his moves, can they translate to the NFL when he's facing the bigger, faster, more athletic offensive linemen? This is a question from Ross Click.
Gotcha. Yes, I think he can, especially just, you know, I guess in a way, in terms of just jumping right into a new environment and just hitting it on full cylinders, the way I just said with Washington, him coming from Washington to UCLA, I don't think he'll have a problem there. I think with any rookie, right, it's just a matter of how do they adjust to the speed and the size of the guys that are going to be in front of them now, especially in the Big Ten. They're in the Big Ten now, but when UCLA is in the Pac-12, obviously good quarterback play, but you're not playing against the biggest offensive lineman, right? UCLA is not known for having the biggest offensive lineman, so obviously working against smaller guys there. But yeah, I think he'll translate well. I think you mentioned, you know, Bosa and Watt and all that. He patterned his game. I saw some tweet or some interview, and I've heard it from him before. He names all the guys: Jalen Phillips, T.J. Watt, Aaron Donald. I think he said his main move is a chop move that he pretty much patterned after watching so much film of Aaron Donald, that, you know, he just had to pick it up, right? So he really patterns himself after guys that are in the NFL. Max Crosby is another name that he seems kind of idolized, and other people have kind of compared him to a little bit. I just
watched his interview with Max Crosby. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, so for him, like that was a dream come true. But I think he'll adjust well. How long it'll take remains to be seen, but I think he should come in. I've seen some people say he has the potential to come in and be a double digit sack guy. Again, I don't know if I'd have that expectation right away, but
year one,
they're saying from the jump, double digit. And I'm like,
I would never put that pressure on that young man.
What I'm saying. I wouldn't put that pressure on anybody, but I mean, heck, if he can do it, I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. You know, he's pretty explosive. You know, it was funny because when me and Lawrence were talking a little bit earlier, before we started recording here, he mentioned, like, yeah, there's some games where he wouldn't have any stats. And I'm like, yeah, I remember those games because I'm like, you know, I'm not the biggest X's and O's guy and stuff like that. But I'm just like, yeah, he kind of had a quiet night, or man, like he really didn't do, you know, they really got the best of him. But no, that's because he was getting double teamed. And there was a game against USC where he was being double teamed, worked his way through both the guys, and still got to Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes it's about just the attention he's getting, right? Almost not saying he's Aaron Donald, but just the way Aaron Donald would get that attention, you have to account for him. That's kind of what they had to do with Latu.
Well, I think, you know, early in the season here, he'll have to show his ability one-on-one. I don't think he'll garner enough double team attention yet. So there will be a true kind of scope to see how dominant he can be to where, you know, hey, we might have to put a tight end over there. We might have to, you know, shift the line that way to where he is, or, you know, bring the running back out to chip him, to slow him down. It'll take some time. So he might be able to shock some people, you know, beginning of the season and start getting some sacks under his belt early in his career to where he might, you know, have to start fighting through double teams. And I hope he is productive like that, to where he does garner, you know, two guys to have to block him, to slow him down. So, I think that, you know, early on, if we can see if he flashes, you know, he can have some success early on until people start. All right, this is why this kid's a first round pick. Let's bring someone over there to help these guys out, you know, because this guy can be a problem. So I'm excited to see what he can do. I still wanted a tackle or something like that, my first pick. But hey, we'll see, man. Hopefully, the Colts go and take a offensive guy this next this round two. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. Another question from Jeffrey Castle. What areas from his game that you have seen Do you think that he can improve as he transitions into the NFL to make his game even better?
Yeah, it was funny. Some of the media guys out here for UCLA, we would always kind of joke and like, he could do everything. I mean, the only thing we wish he would do is speak to the media a little bit more. But he's a good dude. I think there's some question about his arm length maybe and him trying to get off of blocks and whatnot. But I think he's pretty solid. I don't think he had to work. He could probably work a little bit more on the coverage because, I mean, they're usually having him to rush more often than not, that they're not asking him a whole lot to get into coverage. So maybe that's
something. So don't look into the two sacks he had or two interceptions he had last year.
You know what? It's so funny. Like, I don't even really remember the interceptions. Like, when you think of Latu, you don't even think of the interceptions. Like, it doesn't even come to mind. So, and it was funny. I had to look at his stats as I was writing about him again yesterday. I'm like, oh, yeah, he did have two interceptions. And, you know, it was kind of interesting watching him run with the ball, too. So, but yeah, and I think that there's also, I keep hearing these different things, and maybe you guys have already seen enough tape to have an opinion on him. But I hear some people say he's not athletic enough. I hear some people say he's a good athlete. So I'm like, I never know which one it is, but I don't know. There's been some out there that what, other than the medical history, some of the stuff that kept him from being that top edge rusher to some of these, you know, kind of mock draft pundits and whatnot, was he isn't as athletic. So
I think his, from what I've seen on his tape, I think his short end burst could use a little bit of help. That's the one thing that I think needs to have a little help on my end from what I see from him. But his overall height, his bend, his speed, his ability to shift his weight and change directions, lean into a block when coming around to edge is absolutely all top notch, good slash elite in my opinion in the NFL. But yeah, his short burst and takeoff at the snap, I think, is something that he could probably work on quite a bit in order to help. That's my opinion, though.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's not a question about getting after the quarterback for him. It's going to be giving every down guy so that he can be in there to stop the run. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be the biggest question mark that he hasn't seen yet, is these big dominant tackles, you know, running, going at him, and him having to stop the run against those kind of guys. That caliber of player every single snap, and can he be on the field to do that first and second down is going to be like is my biggest question, because we know third down, let him go, you know, go get after the quarterback, you know, make a, you know, hit a move, do what you do that you got you to be a first round draft pick. It's going to be, can you stop the run against these teams that are going to run right at you, you know, when you're on the field. So I think that's going to be the biggest question mark for me. That, you know, I'm not gonna be the first. I haven't watched a ton of film on him. I've seen clips of him. I've watched UCLA tape, but I wasn't focusing on him. And so when I say that, there's no disrespect to him, but, you know, I just don't know how well he does against the run, right? I've only heard about the pass rush and all that, getting at the quarterback, but I've never heard anyone really talk about how stout he is in the run game. So I would like to see. Or you can tell us, is he super stout against the run?
No, I think he's probably maybe a little above average. Again, like it is always about the pass rush, right? And just him making the significant plays that, yeah, I mean, there's things he can work on. Again, at the college level, I mean, yeah, he's checking all the boxes. Again, I think it just comes down to what they present to him. Because, like, when you think about it, in the Pac-12, he played against three or four of the top quarterbacks that were selected in the first round. A lot of those teams were passing the ball. A lot of them weren't running the ball. And UCLA secondary was a weaker point of that defense. So they were always looking to go through the air. It was just a matter of how many guys are going to try and put on Latu to stop him. But the thing is that defensive line kept them honest. And hopefully the Colts are able to do that as well, where they had the Murphy twins. They had Carl Jones. They had Jay Toy as a defensive tackle. They had some other guys on that defensive line that helped complement Latu. So, again, even if Latu was taking the double team, there was always going to be someone else open. So I think the pass rush is obviously a strength for him. Again, I mentioned coverage in the run game as well. I think that kind of remains to be seen at the next level for sure.
I don't think Latu is going to have a problem with other guys on the defensive line for the Indianapolis Colts stepping up and being able to do their job as well to help complement him, because that's something that a lot of Colts fans are like, oh, well, that's why we didn't need him, because our defensive line was already good and deep. You know, right. Hey, you got DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart, Samson Ebukam, Quiddy Pay sitting there. You know, they got depth and strength across the defensive line. So it'll be interesting. Something about the run D, something that Latu said that he prides himself in is being able to play multiple positions. You spoke about Aaron Donald and how he likes to, you know, emulate a lot of him. He played quite a bit of three tech with UCLA. What did you see from him when he did kick in the inside? How well did he play that position?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of interesting. So I'm not the biggest X's and O's fundamental guy, so you're not going to get anything crazy from me. But no, I think from, you know, just with Latu in general, like, he prides himself on being able to work in any position. And he even said the defense kind of ran through me. So he had to do the three. He had to do the two. He had to stand up. And he said, I can do it all. I'm willing to do it all. I think for him, he was just, it was his second opportunity. So whatever it took for him just to get on the field, he was willing to do. Probably not the best answer to your question, but yeah. So a guy who could definitely do all of it, not the X's and O's guy here, the fundamentals, but yeah.
I'll tell you what I saw. He can get overpowered by some of your bigger guards, right?
Yeah. We saw that with Fuaga in the Oregon State game. Yeah.
But what he does have, as an inside move, which I really think is impressive, is he's able to anchor himself and use that straight arm to keep the offensive lineman away from him and be able to hold his ground and keep one arm available in order to be able to reach out and grab and keep his, you know, his section that he's defending closed off. And I think that's a good thing. But again, you get a bigger, more powerful guy on him, especially that's got arm length on him, and that kind of neutralizes that move that he has.
I would be very interested. I don't think the Colts will put him inside one bit. Like, he's not going to be.
Yeah, he's not. No. Put him on the outside and leave him there.
I mean, every once in a while, you'll see DeForest Buckner kick out, and you'll see him, you know, switch.
DeForest is a different monster. Like, he's DeForest is like that hybrid, right? I mean, you can put him at DN or you can put him at three techniques. He's going to cause havoc. I think Latu's gonna find his niche to stay outside and make some hay that way and he'll come inside on a twist game, and I think that's when he'll be able to use his speed and that long arm that arm where he can, you know, hold off that, you know, right into that guard's chest and get to the quarterback. If he can find that to, you know, put into his arsenal, and hopefully, you know, he can develop that and be coached that here, I think that not only make him more diverse and you'll see a lot more stunting up front from the D line from the Colts. If he can get him a one-on-one with a guard, it might be dangerous, but for him to line up in front of a guard, I don't think he'll be as productive.
Was there ever a time where, look, you talked about, you know, coming in off that injury a couple of years back, and you had no kind of expectations out of him. Was there ever a point during the last two seasons where it made you worry, you know, of that? Because I think that's on the minds of a lot of Colts fans right now. Has that ever came up in a game situation or after a game or anything where he's like, you know, there's a problem going on. He's, you know, sore or injured or something of that nature that's came back up.
I'm glad you asked that. And I was curious about your guys' thoughts on just hearing about the medical history too. So hopefully you guys can provide that as well. But no, I think with Latu, it was never a question, other than I think maybe even for him a little bit, it was more mental of just, now you're going to go back out there and play after, I think it was like 2 or 3 years. And then you have the COVID year in the middle of that. So once he finally got the green light, it was a matter of him just putting on the pads and the helmet and really doing it in live action. So, no, there really wasn't ever a time. Like, I mean, this last season, it really wasn't even thought about, other than people would bring it up because he was a draft prospect that was going to go in the first round, and people would lean on that as a negative against him, but it never came up. I was looking it up. I had it written down somewhere. But I think he played in all 25 games. He played 25 of 26 games. And the one game was the LA Bowl in December, where he just sat out in that game, right? As first rounders probably should for their bowl games if they're not playing for the title. But yeah, he played in every game. I mean, there may have been a game or two where he came out, but nothing for the neck. There was never anything where he wasn't practicing or they had to baby him or they had to, you know, give him some veteran day off or something. None of that. Always practicing, always full go. There was no nothing. Like, it, you know, which was kind of the impressive part of, like, everyone keeps talking about this medical stuff, but it never was a thing at UCLA.
That's music to a lot of Colts fans. Yeah. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. It's just funny. Cause again, like, I'm following the mock draft stuff. Cause I know I got to write about Law to figure out where he's going. Again, didn't think he was going to the Colts just cause I never saw anyone say he was going to the Colts. And I just wasn't following Lawrence close enough, obviously. Cause he had it a month ago or whatever it was. But I think, you know, it was never an issue. People just kept bringing it up because they needed something to do a pro and con about, but nothing. It was never brought up. The coaches never mentioned it. They were just beyond it. I think he won. Honestly, I think, as I mentioned earlier, when they said, what are some of the things that he needs to work on? And I said, maybe doing more media interviews. I think part of that was just he didn't want to kept getting asked about the neck and about the injury and stuff like that. I think that was part of it. And I don't blame him. I wouldn't, you know, and just this whole draft process, he says it was an excellent draft process. People did kind of poke and prod to get the information as they should for the different NFL teams. But, you know, I think he's really kind of looking to get past it. And I'm sure he's had to retell the story 100 times with these different interviews and whatnot. So I'm sure he's excited to get to ball and not have to talk about his neck issue.
We're at the end of it. Donald, do you have any questions or comments that you want to bring into this?
No, I just, James, you put the stamp on Latu, and hopefully, you know, he his game translates to the next level for, you know, the sake of Colts Nation, right? And so I think that, you know, hopefully he comes in and he develops and he's an instant impact to the right. defense and a huge upgrade to what we already have, which I already thought was a good unit. So he's in for a treat to learn from those guys as well. And I think that'll help him out in his career to be around such a great room in the defensive line room. Can only help him. You know, you can look at it the other way where, you know, you got a first round guy coming in. He's more talented than everybody in the room. I don't think this is the case here. Right. I think he's going to be, he's up there with those guys, but I think he can learn a lot from those guys and they can really mentor him. I think he's in a good spot.
I think to that, real quick. So I believe he has a trainer, Eddie. Apparently, I think the Colts media is already aware of him because the coach, the D-line trainer coach, has worked with several other guys there, and Latu's worked with them. So he's already familiar with some of those guys that he's going to be playing with. But I think it's also worth noting, like, I think it's Indy's a good spot for him. Not that he needed it, but it's just like when he was in L.A., like, he never wanted to come across as a star. He never, like, you know, was never this big time guy or never too big for any or was too big for anybody. He was always just this humble dude. And anytime you try to ask him about the Lombardi Award or the Hendricks Award, the unanimous All-American, he just would always want to just turn it about his teammates and winning and playing games. He just wanted to win games, be with his teammates. And that's what he was all about. So I think he'll fit in good in Indy.
Awesome. Yeah. As we end this here, James, why don't you tell our listeners and viewers a little bit about yourself and where they can find you?
Sure. Awesome. Thank you. You guys can follow my work over at ocregister.com or dailynews.com. I'll be covering UCLA, obviously, going forward. And as we mentioned here at the top of the show, I do host the Believe in UCLA football podcast. So we'll be keeping eyes on Latu. We'll be talking about Latu a little bit over there as well and some of the other prospects that UCLA should be having. Here in the later rounds here, but also for next year.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Donald, as usual, appreciate you taking time out, come on here and hang out and give us your thoughts as well. And I think that's going to do it here for Believe in Colts, brought to you by Bet Online. And as usual, go Colts.
Go Colts.
Do you believe?